Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And I am extremely, extremely grateful to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala has given me the ability and Allah Ta'ala has allowed me the opportunity to be included in such a gathering. Allah has given me that much energy and power that I can attend such a gathering where everyone is gathered for His name, and Allah has given me the opportunity to sit amongst your company for some moments. Allah has given me the opportunity and the ability, and I pray that Allah Ta'ala makes this gathering a means for our success in the hereafter, a means for our forgiveness in the hereafter. And I pray that we do not leave this gathering empty-handed. Rather, I pray that we depart from this gathering with such an item that we can present it in the hereafter in the court of Allah. That Allah, you gave us such a great reward. We didn't leave empty-handed. Rather, we attained something special. Objective of our coming here, of me coming, is the dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. We are all gathered for this reason. That we sit for a few moments and we remember Allah. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah's remembrance, is extremely necessary for us. That's why Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in various places in the Quran, Allah has ordered, remember me, remember me, remember me. Rather, with regards to dhikr of Allah, the pious predecessors have stated that about this amal, this action, in another style Allah Ta'ala has told us to do dhikr. And such great acts of worship Allah Ta'ala has given us, fasting, prayer, hajj, zakah, and many other forms of worship. But about no other form of worship, as Allah Ta'ala said, that do this action kathira, in high quantity. Allah has put a limit with all deeds. Salah, 5 times fard, fasting 30 days in Ramadan, zakat is a percentage. But when Allah Ta'ala mentions dhikr in the whole Quran, Allah says kathiran kathira, high abundance, as much as possible. From this we need to understand that the dhikr of Allah, from this we should understand it is essential, important and necessary for us. The reason is this, that Allah Ta'ala has put us in such a place, which you can call a prison. In the hadith it has been defined as a prison. And Allah Ta'ala has also introduced and defined the world to us where we are present and sat. That what is this world? Allah said it's such an impure place. Impure in terms of the similitude. Obviously if Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he was expelled, or when he was sent to this place, so obviously it wouldn't have been a good place. So obviously we are all his offspring. And this place, the dunya, the world, Allah Ta'ala has spoken about this world in the Quran in various places. That what is the reality of the dunya? Allah says, "Mata'ul ghurur, illa mata'ul ghurur." What is the special quality of this world? One thing we need to put into our minds is that everything has a special quality. And when it has a quality, then it takes effect. For example, cold water or water. If it's cold, it will give us coolness. If it's hot, it will give us warm feeling. If it's a cool breeze, then you'll feel nice. If it's hot wind, you'll feel a bit uncomfortable. In other words, whatever quality attribute is present within something, it will affect a human being. Definitely 100%. Of course, if I sit next to you, then you will affect me. If I sit in a hot place, it will affect me. If I go to a cool climate, it will affect me. It has its effect. Yes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced this world, defined this world to us. And how did Allah ta'ala define this world to us? What is this dunya? It's dunya. Illa mata'ul ghurur. That this place, the world, the quality of this planet Earth on which you are living, Allah has told us, is that it is a place of extreme deceit. It deceives people. There's trickery in the world. Rather, it's a big magic that the world you are living in, Allah says, is in front of you. A big magic spell. Many deceptions in the world. Everything of the dunya is deception. There's nothing in this dunya that is present in the dunya that is reality. You will see something, but in reality, it's something else. Allah has mentioned, defined, introduced. And the condition of this dunya is what? If this is the condition of the dunya, then there must be an effect. Will there not be an effect on us? Definitely there'll be an effect. How can we be safe from that effect? How can we avoid that effect? So the dunya pulls on a person, just like a magician. He attracts people, the magician. And the dunya is such a place of magic and attraction that it pulls and pulls. It invites us. It invites us. And it takes us away from the real destination. The real destination, it puts a veil between us and the real destination. We are people of Iman. Allah has given us Iman, Quran, Hidayah, guidance. Despite this, why do we commit sins? Allah has given us targets. What are our targets? Ati'ullah wa ati'ur Rasul. These are our two targets. Jannah, we have to go to Jannah by saving ourselves from preventing Jahannam. Remember, these are our targets. And what's the reason that we should decide ourselves that are we weak or strong on meeting our targets, attaining our targets? Very, very important question I'm asking you now. Think about it. Think, do you know when you're going to die? I don't know when I'm going to die. So we've been given targets by Allah. Then how successful are we on the targets that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? How many of us are saved from wrong? How many of us have saved ourselves from the fire of Jahannam? And how many of us are close to paradise? We have to ask ourselves this question. Hisab will occur in Allah's court, and a severe hisab. Every particle of dust will be accounted for. Everything. And the problem here is that the attractions of the dunya are with us through this whole course, and they overwhelm us. Right and left will be shown opposite to us. Everything in the world which will take us towards hellfire, it will be shown to be attractive to us. And it will be shown to us that we must get this, and we'll be thirsty for it, we'll be lost in it. With the amount of enjoyment we get in counting the pounds, we do not get that enjoyment in reciting the Quran. Reality, we don't get that enjoyment in starting salah. The majority of our ummah tells us this. Our actions justify this. Our life, day and night, tells us this. Our household tells us this. Our families tell us this. This is reality. Total, that's in front of us today in this day and age. I'm telling you this. So it's a big magic spell that's been cast on us today, now in the world. Now, if we don't save ourselves from this magic spell, then most verily the destination is hellfire, Jahannam. So two questions come in front of us. Either, two scenarios. Either we continue in this trickery of dunya towards Jahannam, hellfire, or alternatively, we save ourselves from the tricks of this world, we make ourselves safe, and we prepare to go into paradise. Two opposite choices, two paths. We have to select one of them. Today we need to make a decision. Today, which path do we want to adopt now? Now, yes, so we can see that how much the world is going towards one or the other. Our zahir and batin will tell us this now. I will ask us, and this is not a minor point. The great sahaba are the examples for us to make the choice. We read about them. As a handala, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. What a great sahabi. All the sahaba, but I'm giving an example of one sahabi. As a handala, what a great companion. And look ahead. What was the generation? What was his company? Whose company was he in? Tell me. And such a great personalities that after them in the universe no human being can be born like a sahabi. There can be thousands of kutub ghawth, all of them can be in one place, but they cannot get to the dust on the slipper of the foot of the sahabi. Remember this. What was their condition? Dunya affected them, the sahaba, because the effect of the dunya will affect every single man who is born. This is a great event of Hazrat Hamdallah radiallahu anhu. He was distressed. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He presented himself and he asked, he requested, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said direct that I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite. Imagine a great companion as a Hamdallah radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm munafiq, I'm hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can you be a munafiq? How comes? He said, how did he feel that he was a hypocrite? Why did he say this? He prayed salah, recited Quran. He was a sahabi, not a minor individual. But what was he saying? I've become a hypocrite, O Prophet of Allah. So he was honest with himself. He felt this. We hide it, don't we? We hide our defects. We don't want to face them. Oh, I'm praying salah, I'm fasting, I'm doing hajj. Okay, if I'm sinning, I'll hide them. A brother's life is a deception. Dunya is a deception. That look how much we trick ourselves. We have riya, we show off pride, we lie, we consume people's wealth in the night, we commit sins, we come back from a chilla and Allah's home, the path of Allah. Then when we come back, what happens to us? We all know our reality. And this generation we're living in now, all all of the tricks of shaitan are running. We can't make excuses tomorrow. That Allah, I was in that country, it was hard for me. No. Allah said, I've prepared the solutions for you. And how can the dunya affect you? Allah says, if you want it not to affect you. So today we need to speak about this, discuss this, and decide on this. We can't say, Allah, I was in this country, what could I do? It's too hard for me. How could I pray Salah? Totally not. Allah says, wherever I've sent you in the world with my hukam, you go there, your rizq arrives there, your wealth arrives there, my deen arrives there, you live there. And the most important thing that I send to you when you're living there are the means for your iman to be saved. Look at this masjid that we're here now. Would this masjid be here if Allah Ta'ala didn't want? Could we be gathered here if Allah Ta'ala didn't want? Could we pray Salah if Allah Ta'ala didn't want us to? Could we listen to the speech of a discussion? Could we go in Jamaat? And could we have Ta'aleem if Allah Ta'ala didn't want? No. So this is clear proof. Allah has created the means to elevate our iman. So what we need to do is, we need to present the pure deeds to Allah in the hereafter. We know inside the reality of our lives, we're liars, munafiqs, hypocrites, we backbiting. We don't even know the consequence of backbiting, the reality of backbiting. Allahu Akbar, such a big sin, backbiting. Backbiting, if you hear, it is such a sin that all of the previous deeds, where do they go when a person backbites? It's one sin from a few sins only. The amal we do, the deeds we do, pray salah, tahajjud, we do everything. And we backbite, Allah says it burns all of your deeds, it burns them. So do we have protection from backbiting? What do we do to protect ourselves? So Hazrat Hanbala, radiallahu anhu, companion, he presented himself, he bared himself. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a munafiq. Why are you saying this, O Hanbala? Then he presented his hal, his condition, because the effects of the dunya were upon him. Big lesson for us, big lesson. So he said, why? Why are you saying this? He said, the point is this, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I come to your majlis, your gathering, I see your blessed face, and I hear your blessed statements, and I hear your orders, and I sit in your blessed company, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, my heart is such that it's as if I'm seeing paradise, like paradise is in front of me, and I can see hellfire, and I'm so strong. That I am strong, I can feel that I'm going to leave Jahannam and go to paradise. I feel like this. But as soon as we depart from your company and we go into the busyness of the world, we go to our wife and our children at home and we rest, then my condition changes suddenly. And what happens here in front of you, I'm something. And when I leave your gathering, I'm something else. So tell me, am I a munafiq or am I Muslim? Because my condition suddenly changes. What a big lesson for the ummah one sahabi gave. The Sahaba Ikram, their learnings when they reach to us, these are not stories, they are admonishment for us, warning. Every Sahabi is a warning for us, who guides us to the path. Big lesson. Big lesson. And this isn't that we're in the masjid with something. Isn't this the case? Then when we leave the masjid with something, and then when we're somewhere else with something, and when we go somewhere else with something, we change our deen. Isn't this the case? It is. So then we start to follow our whims and desires. These are the effects of the dunya. Yes, this is the reality of the world. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to Hazrat Hanbalah radiallahu anhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the very valuable, precious answer it was. And he wasn't surprised by Hazrat Hanbalah's question. He said, yes, this is the case. This is the reality of the dunya. This is the hadith teaching us this now, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba Ikram, this is possible. Is it possible? It is another hadith. Is it possible that you walk on water and your feet don't get wet? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, it's impossible. Or the Prophet said, is it possible that you live in the world and the dirt doesn't come on your body? The impurities? It will happen. But the point what we have to follow is that we need to save ourselves from this contamination. We have to protect ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, look, this will happen, O my Sahabi, but what you should do is that do such an amal, bring such a deed into your life, after that your direction will depart from the world and it will point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah has said in the Qur'an. The Sahaba's lifestyle became such in the hadith is stated, the pious predecessors have commentated on this. This is the style of the Sahaba about dhikr. That when they realized the Quran told them that dhikr, remembrance of Allah, is such an action from which you will attain success, falah. The dunya will not affect you, shaitan will not trap you, nafs will not trap you. Allah Ta'ala has given you such a tool that any part of the world if you live in and you go to, if you keep dhikr in your lives, no sin will affect you. This is not a common person is being told to. Who's this being told to? The Sahaba. The companions, the generation was the best, the golden generation. So in that generation, what deed was given to the Sahaba? That as they were traveling, they would grab hold of each other and they would say to each other, come, let's for a little while strengthen our iman. Refresh it. Let's become mu'mins, believers. Come, let's bring iman into ourselves. Rather, one Sahabi, he complained. He went to the Prophet, Allah, Ya Rasul, am I not a mu'min? This Sahabi said to me, come, let's sit down and bring about iman. And Rasul said, he's right, whoever said this to you. Subhanallah. Do dhikr. Remember Allah. So Allah Ta'ala, he told the deen and the Sahaba understood it and they wanted to save themselves from hardship. So my brothers, the effects of the world, we don't pray salah, we commit sins, we lie, etc., etc., etc. And this has become an ajeeb and distressing direction of our life, and everything's become artificial. And our target, ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul, to follow Allah's orders and to practice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our deen. Now, if we say, oh, I was told this, and I read this in the kitabs, and I heard this, Allah will ask, what did you do? How much love did you have with imama? How much love did you have with the beard? How much did you love the things that the Prophet ﷺ loved? These are not minor things, rather one sunnah if we imitate of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. If we sit down and drink water, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. Tell me. So the reason why we are weak, the dunya has overwhelmed us, the magic has overtaken us. Everything in our lives, the biggest tool for thereafter is what? The sunnah. We say it's not necessary. This is the magic, the jadu of the dunya that's overtaken us. We always say, oh, magic's taking place. My wife, black magic. My children, black magic. They've stopped eating. Is there not black magic in the world? The black magic of the world, the biggest black magic of the world, the biggest magic and sorcery of the world, and the effect of the sorcery, it takes you away from good and shows you bad as okay. And this is the reality of the sorcery of the world. The most adheem action that will introduce us to Allah in the hereafter, that will give us paradise, that will give us the levels of paradise, is one path. That is the sunnah of Rasulullah, his imitation. And the person who's ashamed of this, the person who leaves this, the person who belittles this, understand. The person who shuns the sunnah, then understand he has destroyed that individual and he has destroyed himself. No other way to attain Allah's nearness. If a person's practicing against the sunnah, then he should accept he's on the wrong path. Rather, we don't accept this. We say, no, I'm fine. Prove to me, where's this written? Where's it say bid in the Quran? Where's it say the interest, why I have to leave interest? Where does it say this? Where's it say TV? I can't watch it. Where? We are following the dunya progression. Now these words are said on uruj, high levels. Even so-called decent people say these things today. Rather, the appearances, the people with imam and appearance of deen do this today, because the magic has overtaken them. Big magic spell. We need to solve this magic. There's only one solution. Allah's given guarantee. Wadhkurullah kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. If you remember me in abundance, then you'll get tuflihun. Massive word. Allah's guaranteeing that whoever, every success in the world, in this world and thereafter, total success, Allah says, I guarantee to you. The one deed will give to you that no sorcery, magic spell will affect you if you are steadfast on my dhikr, Allah says. So when we start to do the dhikr of Allah, then the magic will disappear. When the magic disappears, then our sabak will come back to our life. We'll start to revise our sabak. Iman's there, isn't it? The light of iman will come back. That work, due to magic, we had lost in the world. And then women wearing parda, having haya, shame. I swear by Allah, when this magic spell is eliminated, haya and parda comes back to our women folk. People are shocked. How did this occur? That people, women, they're asking for divorce, everything. The husband maybe will seek divorce. He'll say, no, I'm not going to be modest. I used to be naked and not have clothes on my body. When that sister takes the dhikr of Allah, and that so I can do my islam, rectify myself, Allahu Akbar, then suddenly the shame comes, and then the akhlaq starts to come to life. Ibadah, ma'ashara, society, tijara, meeting, giving, taking, buying, sending, relationships. The deen affects every facet of life. And how does it? By that person following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We take hold of one thing, we leave another thing. Where we see benefit, we follow the sunnah. And one sunnah we know so many times in the morning, we'll run to the meat shops. Halal meat, halal meat, halal meat. We don't know anything else. We know it's not fard to eat meat, is it? Is it? And we eat less
the meat of animals, we eat more the meat of our brothers. We say halal. We eat the meat. We say halal to devour the flesh of our brothers and sisters. We eat less chickens. Yes, and we do tazkiyah. We fill in the tazkiyah sheets. And I'm seeing from a long time. It's very difficult. You see, the tahajjud is ticked, the salah is ticked, the ibadah is ticked, the Quran is ticked, and they have the whole list, you know, at tazkiyah sheets. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Everything is good, the tabligh's good, the deen's good, but when it comes to the negative sinning, they cannot leave backbiting. The poor soul, they're trying, but they can't leave backbiting. Why? Why? They pray tahajjud, they pray salah, they're doing everything, but they can't leave ghibat, backbiting. So a question I would like to present to you, if you are sitting at those who are the dhakireen, they can ask me, the Hazrat Sahib, please explain that the Quran says whoever does dhikr, he'll get the guarantee of tuflihun. So when we do dhikr like you told us, even then, despite that, why do we backbite then? Why are we not getting the positive effects of dhikr? Why are we lying? Why are we backbiting? They've improved, but why are they still? Why is it that we cannot attain the maqam so we can leave these sins? So brothers, listen carefully to what I'm saying, attentively. It's not just dhikr of Allah that gives tazkiyah. Listen to this today clearly what I'm saying to you. Not only dhikr will rectify you, improve you. If you want tazkiyah, it's not just through dhikr. No. Along with dhikr in parallel, there's another condition that must be fulfilled. If you fulfill that condition, then tazkiyah begins, the first step. Alongside dhikr, the second condition is ittabai Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason for this is this, that we don't get the positive effects of dhikr because we are not practicing totally on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we practice 100% the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then dhikr of Allah, when we do it, will affect us positively. You cannot drive the car with one wheel. No, you cannot ride the bike with one wheel and we'll maybe make our faces look like Muslims or have the beard. This is not sunnah on its own. Every part of life we need to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was an example for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولَ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Not one place, every single footstep of life, whatever your mu'amalata, first and foremost, we need to take the guidance of Sharia and Sunnah. How do I practice deen here? What was the order? What did Nabi Sallam do? Even when you come to the masjid, you can't come with your own desire. You have to be cautious. How do I take my shoes off? How shall I put my shoes on? How do I enter, leave? Is this not the case? This is deen. This is Islam. This is why we go to the Darul Ulooms, that we love to learn the Sunnah. Isn't it? Great Mashaikh Ikram, the respectful Mashaikh, whoever's name I tell you from our Aqabareen, our pious elders, one style of life will come. They didn't have miracles and mu'jizas as my Hazrat. I never saw a miracle of my Hazrat, my Shaykh. I never did. I saw one miracle in his life, his whole life, alhamdulillah. That any action of his, every single action of his, rather his whole life, never did I see an action of Hazrat Sahib's life against the Sunnah. Never. Yes. That I can put my hand on the Quran, if you give it to me, I'll swear by Allah, day and night, Medina, Makkah, illness, good health, home, outside, that I was attached to my Shaykh. And I saw his principle of life. I said, I've seen his life, how can I leave him? And he taught me, Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul, he will give me this. I knew this. And never did I see Hazrat Sahib, never did I hear him say, karamat, miracles, I am this and I am that, no need for this. No. Hazrat Arif Billah, Dr. Abdul Hayy, rahmatullah, his life, Allahu Akbar, every single moment of his life I can define to you, explain to you, he practiced the sunnah. Whenever he spoke, Hazrat Taqi Madazalal Ali, first and foremost, he would say that our Shaykh was such a light and picture image of the sunnah. I never saw his life or speech against the sunnah. Hazrat Thanvi, the ustad of my Hazrat, was Hazrat Thanvi sahab. He was the same. So this is the real thing, going to the khanqah, sitting with the wali Allah. We don't go there just to learn dhikr. Rather, we need to bring our lifestyle onto that path so that when we get to the hereafter, in the grave, the maqams that are to come after death, so we can pass the test in these phases. Yes, we don't want pride, we don't want riya, envy, spiritual internal diseases. And it's a very easy method to solve all of these crises. What is that? The Quran has told us. Look, from this hadith, what is shown and taught to us? This is a sabak. Listen, Hazrat Hamdallah, radhiyallahu anhu, where has he gone? Did he know he could do tasbih, read Quran? No. First and foremost, what did he do? He went to his Shaykh. I need to present my condition to my Shaykh. He didn't take the surah to himself. He was a great sahabi. He presented himself. That Rasulullah, I'm like this now, please kill me. So what we need to do, whoever wants to do his tazkiyah, first and foremost, what does he need to do? He needs to have a link with a sheikh, a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Condition number one, step number one to do islah. To rectify yourself, lazim, essential, compulsory. Islahi link is not that you're here, your sheikhs in the southern hemisphere, Hindustan, Pakistan, Bangladesh. No, you need to have such a link with a sheikh that you can present him, yourself to him directly. Just like, alhamdulillah, went to a sheikh. Straight away you can go, Hazrat, this has happened to me, help me, what shall I do? What shall I do? Physical connection. So if you have a pain, a feeling, I want to improve my life, then you introduce yourself to your sheikh. And another point, that how can I live my life against the sunnah? I will not succeed. I need to solve this. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. I haven't come here to give a speech. I've come here to give a message to myself. MashaAllah, you are all pious. So we're wasting our lives. If we don't attain this target in our life, we need to bring the life and the itaat, imitation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his love. The Allah's given hukam. In the verse, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ لَفَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Order. Allah stated that my Nabi's sunnah, his itaat, his obedience, his imitation is so high. What Daraja Allah says, you will become my mahbub if you follow his sunnah. Allah's beloved, to become Allah's beloved. Which ibadah has been defined? Not salah, nothing. What? Ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَتَّبِعُونِي. Is this not in the Quran? So why do we leave it? Because magic spell has overtaken us. This is magic that's overtaken us. We can't lie and deny this. We are trapped in the world. We know jinns have overtaken us. Black magic and sorcery and exorcists come to us. When we live the sunnah of Rasulullah, ittabab the sunnah, then jinnat, they come to us. They overtake our lives. Yes, when we go to the amil, magician, we say, help us. Yes, there is magic. He's right. There's magic on you, black magic. I can check you now. I can scan you now and tell you what black magic has overtaken you. I can tell you, there is jadu, there is magic. Who's done it? No one else. No, so not some invisible force. The dunya has overtaken you. That's it. Allah told us. It's not some secret beyond secrets beyond secret. There's no human being who the effects of the dunya have not taken place. I can tell you with guarantee. Guarantee. So magic, sorcery, it can happen to, but can it happen to a person who believes in Allah and follows the sunnah? Impossible. But a person who leaves the sunnah, lies, done Hajj and Umrah, he deceives and lies and commits fraud and trims his beard, cuts his beard, watches films and enjoys himself in the dunya and does this. This is how free we are in the world. The sense does not allow us to understand that person. But the person who magic has not overtaken him, what is his hal? It's like those people we have seen, our pious predecessors, the walis wala. Magic never overtakes them. They sleep with ease. No sorcery in their lives. They do dhikr, sleep. They get up at tajud time. They cry. They recite big verses of the Quran, surahs. Then they sit in dhikr again. Then they get up again. Then they go to salah. And salah, one salah, the value for them is more than their life. They can never imagine that they ever leave salah. Delay salah. No one's doing tabligh to them. No one's propagated them. Inside there's a fire burning the love of Allah that takes them to Allah's deen. So this should come to our lives. But we've shunned all of this. Salah, salah, my salah. This is magic. Because we've left. So do you understand what is magic? Whenever our condition is negative, I swear by Allah, the world has committed magic on us and the jinnat are inside us. Small examples Allah has told us. Look, for example, if you're going to the toilet, and you don't go according to the sunnah methodology into the toilet, then are jinns not in the toilet? Hadith Allah said that. Then the jinns, they superglue themselves to you. Yes, jinn and shaitan will superglue themselves to you. When you sit to eat, eat. If you don't start eating according to the sunnah, then shaitan starts to eat with you, with me. We don't care how is my child eating, standing and eating, standing and urinating. And then he goes out and meets people we don't ever realize. Yes, isn't this in our lifestyle? So is this not magic? Magic has come into us, overtaken us, the spell, and then it makes a person more munafiq, a hypocrite, so that love of deen doesn't come to him, and direct we need to take him into Jannah. So is that magic? So the person, most definitely 100% we need to take him into Jannah. And the person who's far from the sunnah, and he doesn't cure himself. Today I've come to explain to you the cure. Will you take all of that cure? Yes, inshallah. That's why I've come today. To give the cure for all of these evil forces and the wrong. Whoever has the tawfiq today, take the cure. Guaranteed, I'll tell you. If you take this cure, alhamdulillah, then the magic will disappear from your life. In your homes, there'll be barakat. In your rizq, there'll be barakat. Our children, our offspring, alhamdulillah, will become obedient. Women will have haya, shame, will come into their lives. Yes, why do we go to the male magician? Oh, there's jadu, black magic in my life. The husband and wife want to divorce each other because the magic spell has overtaken their lives. Jadu has overtaken their lives. But Allah guarantees, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Will we do brothers dhikr? Yes. Not just one majlis and then leave it. No, dhikr has to be part and parcel of our lives, my brothers. We cannot live without dhikr. It is so important that Allah has said kathir. Kathir. Allah didn't say do 5 tasbih, 100 tasbih. No. No upper limit. Rather do dhikr in such a way. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا. Allah says morning, evening, in between. And apart from that, every moment. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Every moment. Standing, sitting, lying down, sleeping. You have to remember Allah. Why? Because you have been sent to a dangerous place, Allah says. You've been set free in a dangerous place, the earth. That even at death, your iman is in danger. It may be swallowed. Shaitan may grab it. Allah, for the sake of Allah, we need to think that we have to leave this world with iman. It will be the biggest success, but only that person can leave this world with iman who works hard. And the right working hard that the Quran hadith is defined. Not that I work hard, I'm doing this, I'm doing that action, I'm working hard. No, if you're doing it, then you're deceiving yourself again. You have to look, how does it affect you? What deen are you following? فِسِّلْمِ كَافَةٌ. Allah says that you have to be totally on the deen. Whenever you, wherever you stood in your business, you should be a mu'min. When you're buying shopping, you should be a mu'min. When you're speaking to someone in the world, you should be a mu'min. When you're fighting, arguing, quarreling, you're trying to break it up, mu'min. Every decision of yours, home, outside, children, wife, outside, mu'amalat. You won't say, oh, I want to separate from you, and you get married, and then you leave the marriage and follow your nafs and enraged with the world. No, you ask, what is the sunnah of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Whether everyone in the world is against this, but I want to travel along with the sunnah. Yes, this is how we should dare to live our lives. Yes, but we don't see the sunnah lives and we see everything else in our lives. So, why don't we practice this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why don't we practice the sunnah? Say it loudly. Because the magic has overtaken us, the magic spell. Definitely we are under the spell of magic. And we are living anti the sunnah of our inner lives. And the person who says, no, it's not necessary, I don't need to do this, it's not important, someone's got less, more, little bit, medium, we pray, recite Surah Yasin, after that we practice a bit, then we leave, and then all the effects of the dunya, the magic spell are permanently on us. Allah says, one breath, look at that sahabi, the nasiha, subhanAllah, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, his final nasiha, attained by Rasulullah, Yo Prophet, please give me a final nasiha. The Prophet said, Mu'adh, the final advice, peace I'll give to you now, is that when you are departing this world, then you should be doing dhikr so much in your life, it affects you in your final seconds when you're departing the world, your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah. Amazing final nasiha. And do we do dhikr when we're sleeping? That was maut, that not a second of your life should be devoid of dhikr. So much dhikr do, that no amal will benefit you. What will benefit you? Say loudly. What? Dhikr of Allah. Will we do dhikr, my brothers? Yes. So, not the dhikr with the tasbih, rosary bead in our hands. This is not counting the beads. Yes, you'll get thawab. Do this many tasbihs in the morning, in the evening. We're happy, I've done 12 tasbih. No, Allah says kathir. So kathir now is not attached to a number. Allah says unlimited. There's no upper limit, no upper boundary. We don't say it from the lip. Allah says, what is that dhikr then? That will then translate into kathir. How do we do that? Allah's put the machine in our bodies. What is that machine? Left side of your body. Alhamdulillah. Are you aware of it? When a child is born, when the embryo is formed in the womb, first the heart is formed. When the embryo forms, what comes? What is the first organ Allah develops? The heart in the embryo. Because that's going to give life. That will take us into Jannah. The heart will remember Allah. So first Allah manufactures the heart. When you see a child is born, he goes through the process in the womb 9 months. And you see the doctors, when they're doing the scan, they look for the heart. Then they look for the limbs, the hand and the feet. Go, whenever a scan is taking place, you know, the ultrasound scan, they look for the heart. They show the images, the heart is formed, tuck, 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 is beating, child's healthy. So our heart that Allah Ta'ala has made is very valuable. Allah has made it for Himself. Allah says, you have to remember me with the heart I put in your body. Allah says that, heart ho kar kam dil ho, in the world, doing the things of the world, and they should be attached to Allah. Not that you leave your shop, your business, your wife, your children, and sit in the khanka just to dhikr. Don't live in the world, work, business, living, traveling. No. Allah says, I've sent you to the dunya. And the miracle of the mu'min is that you should be physically in the world. The men are those people who do business, they have children, they run their businesses, transactions, trade, but they're not for a second detached from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the men folk and the women folk. There? That, for example, when you leave this hemisphere and go to the western hemisphere and you cut your beard and you eat halal chickens, are you a Muslim? The Muslim is he who sits on the straw mat and their bones are protruding from their body due to their efforts and their strenuous activity they've done for the deen of Allah. Allah says, Rijal, they are the real men. They have become a man in the world that nothing of the world makes him lazy from the dhikr of Allah. Nothing, nothing. They are 10 foot tall, strong, big, lot of kilograms of weight. We sleep, we burp, and we think we're men. We eat so much food. Allah says, my men, the true men, I call them Rajal. Allah says, they will be called on the day of resurrection that their faces will be lighting up like the moon on the 14th night. And all the people on the day of resurrection will say, Allah, who are these people? They'll be envious. You read the hadith on you, so be me and you. Yes, eating halal chickens and food and rice and go to sleep. We don't know what dhikr is. We haven't prayed tahajjud, ishraq, haven't done dhikr. Every second of our life, every breath we have to do dhikr, and they are the rajal who do this, they are the menfolk. It's not difficult though. Allah Ta'ala hasn't given us a punishment burden. Oh, I have to do dhikr every second. How can I do it? It's not hard. Allah's put the machine into our bodies. We just have to start the machine. Yes, sir. Turn the ignition switch. Shaitan doesn't let us do it. What a big magic spell of the dunya he's cast over us that he doesn't let us remember Allah. Such a massive magic spell. We've seen big magicians, but there's no bigger magician than the dunya. There's no bigger magic than the dunya. Imagine. So much fear in our hearts. Do dhikr of Allah. Oh no. It's too hard. So much fear. Such a big magic spell on us that if I say to you, in the morning after Fajr, we have maraqbah, come present yourself and join the gathering until Ishraq. Oh no, I've got to go work tomorrow. It's too hard. Yaar. No. Waliz of Allah do this. How can I do this dhikr? Oh no. Don't go to him. He makes you do dhikr in the morning. He spoils your dunya. He's spoiling your children. He doesn't have study. Imagine. This is our mamala. This is our situation. Why? Because this is the magic that has been cast upon us. That if we pass our days like this, with the remembrance of Allah, and the children and our family, our household, noor will come into our families that you cannot imagine. Who gives rizq? Who gives wealth? Who gives sustenance? Who gives water? Who gives roti? Bread? Who gives the job? Who gives career? Allah gives. So then whose friends are we? If Allah gives us all of this, then who's our friend? We leave our friend. We don't ask our friend. So will we remember Allah not? Yes, inshallah. How will we remember Allah? With what? Not with the tongue. That's small people's work. Small people. Remember Allah with the heart. Our heart should be attached to Allah. In the world, with your wife, children, career, elevation. But the heart you have to hand over to Allah. Allah. Maraqbah. Always maraqbah. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. Today, I have come here to teach you the dhikr of the heart. So that every one of you can become a dhakir and travel to paradise. And be the rightful owner of the highest level in paradise. There are big maqams in the hereafter, brothers. We need to grab them. Adda lahum jannat. Adda lahum. Great rewards for the dhakireen. And the hisab kitab will happen. But even before that, we'll walk into Jannah laughing, smiling. Look, we're wasting our time. We don't do dhikr. We don't want to do it. Alhamdulillah, learn it. And close your eyes. Do maraqbah on your heart. Your heart itself will say, you don't need to say nothing. Do nothing. You don't need to remove the tasbih, your tongues. No effort. Just like a person closes his eyes and goes to sleep. Relax. Bliss. Eternal bliss. Allah's given the duty to the heart to do this. You don't need to do no work. Some people say, some of our elders say, they are dhakir, they don't die, rather after death they are alive. Why? Because their hearts are alive with the dhikr of Allah. That Allah's name is the massive force. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Do you think Allah said this for nothing? You think Allah termed it akbar for nothing? So brothers, do you want to learn dhikr today? Inshallah. That's why I came here to speak to you about these few small things. May Allah take us out of this magic of the world. We're trapped in the magic. Our home, our wife, our children, our families. We're all stuck in this magic. If I said that, oh, we've got magic in our homes, and I say that, oh, your children, there's a magic spell on them, black magic, Hazrat, give me taweez, here's money, do you want £100, £200, please take out the magic from homes, there's fighting, quarreling, jadu, there is jadu, and who's done the jadu? The dunya has done the jadu on you, no, not some other magic force or some third party, the dunya has done the magic on us, on our lives. And what is the way to break that chain of the magic of the dunya? Allah has told us in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. There's no other solution. Just do dhikr. Allah says, the dunya will be yours and the akhirah will be yours. And all the magic spells and chains will break. Every single link of the magic of the world will break. Yes, you'll start to practice sunnah, you'll start to love imamah, you'll start to love beard, you'll start to love libas. Automatically, when the magic of the dunya will disappear, then where will you run? You'll run to Allah and His Rasul. Automatically, automatic de-gear, that praying salah. No one will have to come to you, pray salah. Remember this, take two children. One, you tell him, why don't you pray? Why don't you practice this? Why don't you do this? Another child, you teach him dhikr. Just teach him dhikr. Don't do nothing else. 40 days after, come to me and tell me the difference you see in those two children. Allahu Akbar. This is the experience of my whole life, I'm telling you. This happened to me. That nothing in the world solved me. I was in the dunya. I was a nafs. A follower, I followed my desires. How do I control it? I prayed salah, tahajjud, I did umrah, tawaf, I did du'as, but I couldn't leave the following of my desires. Eventually, alhamdulillah, I met Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi, his nur came to my life. I had to shake his hands with the wali Allah. Then I learnt how to get rid of nafs. He was a great personality. My sheikh was a great. Whose company did he have? Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullahi. His company, he had connection. He was not some minor sheikh, my sheikh. Alhamdulillah, I sat in his company. Magic spell finished. Then he taught me the truth. Don't worry. He said, there's no big deal. Just straightforward transaction do with Allah. Straightforward deal. Remember Allah. Start doing Allah's dhikr. He told me, he said, end of story. You will have no problems in life. And he said, you'll come towards reality. Allah's promised this in the Quran. So this dunya, the magic of the dunya, the chain of the magic of dunya is very dangerous. Won't let us practice. Won't let us accept. Won't let us go forward. Because when a magic overtakes someone, then when you break it, when you start doing dhikr, suddenly the dunya will run away from you. Jinnat will run away from you. Problems will run away from you. Enjoyment of counting money will run away from you. Fraud will run away from you. Lying will run away from you. Greed will run away from you. Bad things will run away from you. Dhikr and kathira, when it comes, Allah's name comes into your life, all negatives will run away from you. You won't need to have tabligh upon you then. No one will need to force you. You'll start to do self-tabligh. You will start to love Allah. You'll start to love the deen. You'll start to love the sunnah. Nobody will need to force you to practice. Otherwise, oh my son, my daughter, they're not practicing black magic. Oh sheikh, do dua for them. I'll pay you. Do dua, ta'weez. And this is punishment. Because when you love the dunya, the punishment will come. Then a person, he starts to trust the dunya. Solid trust. He prays salah. He does everything and his trust is solid. There have been magic spells on me, magic spell. And I need to pay this magician, this maulvi, and he'll solve me. And then jinnat start to play with that person. Shaitan start to play with that person. And jinnat, shaitan, and magic is nothing. It is nonsense. It's just a vision. It's a mirage. It's fake. For a mu'min, is a shaitan, a jinn, or the magic of the world something? Nothing. Rizq will have barakat, your wife, children will become pious, your business will become a business of barakat, you'll have a system of life, ideal life, A to Z, morning till evening, even to morning, you'll have an ideal life, and you'll laugh and smile and go into paradise. Hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that you will go into paradise laughing and smiling. Without this, if you have no dhikr of Allah, and if you don't have dhikr in your life, I tell you this clearly. If you don't remember Allah regularly, then the conditions of your life will go in a downward spiral. Dirty impure life. Our Quran will have contamination. Contamination, your deen, your Quran, your salah. Mixture will come. Mixture. Impurities will come. No ikhlas. No sincerity. So today my nasiha advice to you brothers is that every man learn dhikr. Before departing, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, learn this. We'll start to do dhikr shortly. Everyone here, learn qalbi dhikr. Will you learn, brothers? Inshallah. Don't need to be ashamed. Don't be afraid. It's not something weird. Dhikr of Allah will be taught to your heart. When you learn it, your heart will start to say, Allah, Allah. Train it. Train it. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's not mountains to climb. Every morning and evening, do maraqabah. Keep thinking about Allah, Allah, Allah. Train your heart. Not with the tongue, with your heart. Allah, 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 Allah. Inshallah. Dunya will become paradise. Hereafter will become paradise. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's do the dhikr of Allah. The method of dhikr will be that for a short time, we will recite the verses of the Quran.
Inshallah, we'll collectively recite these. Then after that, we will do dhikr of Allah, maraqaba, dhikr in the heart. And then after that, we will do dua. And then the gathering of dhikr will conclude. And after that, every person who wants to, rather everyone who's here, everyone who's here should learn dhikr and depart from this gathering and bring dhikr into his life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, as-salatu was-salamu ala Muhammadin nabiyil ummiyyi az-zawji ummahatil mu'minin. Wassalatu wa salamu ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Wassalim tasliman daiman nabadan kaseeran kaseera. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana wa khatwana amdana kulla salikana. Allahumma ighfir lana ma qaddamta ma akhartu ma asrartu ma alamtu ma nasartu ma alamhi. Anta al-muqaddim wa anta al-mu'akhir wa la ilaha illa anta. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اقضي حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات المسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.